Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 110, Prayer and Fasting as a Lifestyle. Part of the new series for 2020, Putting God and His Kingdom First. Guest minister Enoch Paul delivered this message on January 12, 2020.
Not mine, so I want to step aside. I want you to take over, speak to me, and speak through me, O Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All righty. Okay. All righty. There's a heavy subject here, so I am going to make it a little humorous at the beginning. All right. Can we have some humor here?
Yes.
It's okay, right?
It's okay.
It's okay. Thanks for coming here. Thanks for being a part of My Father's House. And I see Liam and Lucas have... Lucas, right?
Yes.
Have a friend. Who are you? What's your name?
Eli.
Eli, you're welcome. Thanks for coming today. Oh, nephew. All right. Well, enjoy the coloring. And I see that you have... You, Carissa.
Yeah, this is my brother, Jeremy.
Jeremy, nice meeting you. Awesome. Well, welcome, Jeremy. And I see, I heard your name was Jason. I heard it there. So, welcome. Yeah. Who did you come with?
I just came on my own.
Awesome. The Lord led him here. Awesome. Well, and the rest I all know you. So.
Okay.
All right. Let's have some fun. Okay. Okay. This is a heavy subject, so we'll try to have some fun. If I get boring, I'll start dancing, and you can laugh then. I'll have to raise you up again. All right, so a survey was sent across the churches in the city, and they had one very specific question, just one question, very important question. How many church people does it take to change a light bulb? So they went across all the churches, and they asked this question, okay? So here's what the answers were. For the charismatic, one, hands are already in the air. For the Pentecostals, five, one to change the bulb, and four to pray against the spirit of darkness. Episcopalians, eight, one to call the electrician, seven to say how much they like the old one better. Mormons, five, one man to change the bulb and his four wives to tell him how to do it. Methodists, 10, one to change the bulb, nine to attack the preacher because someone's grandmother gave that bulb to the church. Baptists, a whole group, one to change the light bulb, a committee to approve the change, and another to provide the casserole for the help. Presbyterians, what are you talking about? God has ordained when the lights will be turned on and off. Lutherans. None. Lutherans don't believe in change. Tina, don't tell your mom to look at our website for the sermon. Roman Catholics. Last one, Roman Catholics. Never mind, they use candles anyway, so. All righty. So, do you all have your bulletins? Who has the bulletins? Do you have bulletins? Who does not have the bulletin? That'd be easier. All right, there's lots of bulletins over there. Get a bulletin because we're going to do a small little exercise here. Does everybody have a bulletin? All right. And you have a pen. There should be a pen in front of your seat. If not, you may have it in your bag. If not, ask Mew. Mew might help you. Or share with your neighbor. On the first page, where it says, My Father's House. I want you to do this. I want each one of you to write down the goal of fasting and prayer. What are you fasting for this time? So we're having 21 days of fasting and prayer. What is the goal that you put in? Now, everybody would be different. Now, if you're not fasting, it's okay. If you're not fasting, write down the goal that you had the last time you fasted. Okay? So, write down the goal of fasting and prayer that you are praying and fasting for this time. And if you are not fasting, just write down the goal that you had the last time you fasted and prayed. And if you've never fasted in prayer, just keep listening. All righty. So what I'm going to do today is very simple. I'm going to keep it simple so I can lay a good foundation. I felt the Lord lead me there. And then next week when we continue with the fasting and prayer series, hopefully Sarah can lay something more on top and help us all keep growing in that area. We can always keep growing because God always reveals something new. He's a God of revelation. And if you thought, hey, I know everything, guess what? You'll stagnate there. But if you're always open to hearing from God, God will always reveal something beautiful. Our Saturdays are Friday evenings to Saturday evenings. We, Tina and I and our kids celebrate Shabbat. And I kid you not, every Shabbat he reveals something new. And I thought I knew the Bible, but he shares something new. We literally, our jaws are on the floor and we have to pick it up, you know. It is just fabulous. You know, the secrets of the Lord are only revealed to his friends, you and I. And so I am excited about it. So we'll always learn something new. So keep an open heart to learn. So what I'm going to do today, just give you the basics. What is prayer? And then we'll discuss of what is fasting, types of prayer, types of fasting, and the benefits. And then we'll close. How about that? Fair enough? Fair enough? Okay. Are you all ready? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Put your seatbelts on. What is prayer? E.M. Bounds. Who's heard of E.M. Bounds? He's a great author, great man of God, and prayer. He's written a number of books on prayer. He said this of prayer. Prayer is the expression of a relationship with God. Prayer is an expression of a relationship with God, a yearning for divine communion. This morning when we worshiped, it was just two lines. But when we worship, there's a lot of communication. Just two lines, but a lot of communication. So toward the end, when we were just spontaneously worshiping, I just started thanking the Lord, and he took me on a beautiful journey. So I had like a big, like a theater picture here, 70 mm, and I went all the way from my birth, like God was showing pictures, like flashcards, from the birth to when I was a boy, to my life, from the deepest crisis of my life at that time, and then all the way to school, college, my marriage, coming here, and I'm thinking, this is brilliant, Lord, I couldn't have done that. And all the way to now, and then he said, are you ready? I said, what? And then he showed me my future. He showed me things. He showed me, well, that's between him and me, so I'll tell you, but he showed me all the way to the distant future. And all I could say was, thank you. Woo, I like that. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, there's times where you got to just dance with the Lord. Amen. And just take what he has. If you're open, he'll always reveal to you things that you don't know. Yes. And you're not expecting. Yes. I had fun, at least. With those two lines, I had fun. Yeah. Awesome. But that yearning for that communion and this relationship, that causes prayer. Otherwise, you're just saying prayers. Otherwise, you're just mouthing words. That doesn't work. Just quit it, right? So regardless of where you have been in your walk, you know, regardless of if you're a veteran, you know the Bible left, right, up, down, you can quote it left, right, you know. Regardless of where you are, or if you're just a baby Christian, you have called on God, right? How many have had exams?
Yes.
Do you realize when you had exams, you prayed a lot? You prayed a lot. Or if you had some crises, or if you had some issues, you know, you go to the doctor and he's like, oh, wow. And guess what? You start praying.
Yes.
Well, we've all called. I saw a video of Richard Dawkins. Who knows who Richard Dawkins is? He's an avowed atheist. He debates all these Christian pastors and all that. And he was once asked the full name because he was making fun of this pastor who was debating him. And he says, you know everything about the Bible. And he was asking some questions like, where did God come from? Blah, 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 blah. He's like, you don't even know that. So this man of God turned to him and says, well, you believe in evolution, right? He's like, yeah. Can you name me the full title of the book of evolution written by Darwin? It's a big title. It's a very big title. And he said, oh yeah, I know. And oh God. He said, oh God, look on YouTube. You'll see that. Richard Dawkins. It even takes an atheist to call on God to remind him of the book that refutes that there is existence of God. How funny is God? God's laughing, you know? But we've all called on God at some point or the other.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
When calamity strikes, 9/11, churches were packed.
Yes.
Why? Oh, everybody was calling on because they need that security. They have, I'm going to run to God. All of a sudden, they're running to God. So what is prayer? Prayer is that communication with God, the Most High. But prayer has a partner. Prayer has a partner. It's called faith. See, prayer is incomplete without faith. Because remember, otherwise you're just mouthing words and words can fall flat. If prayer consists of words, faith is the life force behind it. So guess what? When you pray, take a breath. Stop a moment and say, I am going to, the words coming out of my mouth, I am going to do it by faith. I am going to speak it by faith. You will see a difference in your prayer life. Prayer is simply faith taking possession of its inheritance, which means you already have one, but faith through your prayer is claiming it now. When faith ceases to pray, when faith ceases to pray in you, it ceases to live. Ooh. So prayer can come in different forms because God's a God of variety, right? You remember the song, red and yellow, black and white, all the precious in His sight. You know why? In heaven, we'll have a variety. We'll see colors we never thought there were. Because God is a God of variety. And so there are a variety of ways to pray. God's desire is for us to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, Ephesians 6:8. So all kinds. So don't let anybody tell you this is the way to pray. Don't let anybody tell you this is not the right way to pray. You know, you pray because when I pray, sometimes I just jump on his lap and I'm playing with his hair and he's just looking into my eyes and he enjoys it. He actually, while I was worshiping, and I was calling out like this, Lord, I'm here, you know, and he came and lifted me up.
Amen.
And he put me on his lap and he stroked my hair.
Amen.
I've seen my babies, you know, my wife picks him up and lays him. And I'm thinking, what next, Lord? You're going to feed me milk or something? He said, no, I just want to look into your eyes.
Amen.
And he just stroked me and he stroked me and he stroked me. And I just felt teary eyed. It's like, thanks. I love this kind of love. But see, God loves all kinds of prayers. In the kingdom, there is no stupid prayer. Did I tell you about my stupid prayer when I was 8 years old? Not 8 years, when I was in eighth grade. Like every other boy, I had pictures of cars in my room. BMWs. It was a big one. You know, Mercedes-Benz. It's okay. You know. And I looked at the BMW, it's a German make, you know, German cars are just awesome. And I said, Lord, I want a German wife. Low enough, Tina is German.
Praise the Lord.
And now I look back and it's like, well, that was just a silly, silly question, thing to ask. And he says, there's no silly in kingdom. I know your heart.
Amen.
I am so glad she keeps the house clean. My goodness, if not, we'd be like a lemon car, you know, falling apart all over the place. So all kinds of prayers. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. You can sing your prayer.
Amen.
You can sing your prayer. Hey, you can rap your prayer too. He doesn't mind. He made music. He made music.
Yes, he did.
You know, when kids make noise, babies cry in the middle of the church, we think, oh my Lord, you know. We don't think so. God doesn't think so. He's like, oh wow, there's life.
Amen.
He's crying out for life, crying out for breath. That's what we need to do, cry out. Hallelujah. All kinds of prayers. Oh, well, let me elaborate on just a few simple things. Types of prayers. Adoration. You heard of the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. A lot of people use this. Adoration is praising God. Just saying, praise you, Lord. I worship you for who you are, for who you have made me to be. Just simple words of adoration, of loving on God. The secret is when you love on God, you feel His love back.
Yes.
You can't give anything to Him that He does not return back more than what you've given.
Amen.
Amen. The number two, confession. Now, confession is asking God for His forgiveness. Now, there's also another kind of confession. If you're a kingdom person and you look at your life, you examine your life every day and you see, oh, well, I'm walking with Him, got no issues, problems, you can confess who He is for you in your life situation. You can confess who you are. I am the light of the world. Why? Because He's the light in me, right? You can confess. That's confession. And the Lord loves it because you are taking His word by faith. Remember, if you say it without faith, it's just mere words. It'll fall flat. But when you say it with faith, He looks at His angels, He nudges and says, look at that. That's my boy. That's my girl. I am standing on behalf of them. It makes God's heart go. He's in love with us.
Amen.
The third is thanksgiving. Showing God gratitude. You know, when you are thankful, when you allow your heart to get away from complaints and you step into thankfulness, you're not only, God not only supplies, He gives abundance. Because God always loves a grateful heart. I have been reading the book of Lamentations in the mornings, and I read a gospel chapter in the evening. I've had enough of Lamentations. Oh yeah, I'm thinking, Lord, today I read chapter 3, and I said, who in the world is this guy, Lord? This guy is a complainer. He's a perpetual complainer. He complains about God. God has done this. God has done that. You have removed us. You have led the enemy. And then he has two verses in between in chapter 3. And he says, you know, something good about, oh, but I know you're merciful. You're good. And then he starts complaining about the people around him. My enemies. Curse them. All that. I said, Lord, have mercy. I'm so glad I'm not like him. I told the Lord, I know the scriptures inspired. I'm so glad I'm in the kingdom. I got the spirit inside of me. I'm always joyful. I want to be joyful. I can't be is that a word called unjoyful? Sorrowful. No, I was thinking about that. But here's the thing. I love a lifestyle of thanksgiving.
Amen.
Because it is the life that brings you peace. You can't have peace without thanksgiving. You can't look at what you don't. If you look at what you don't have, you will only see lack. And a mind that is set on lack will only see more lack and more lack and more lack. There is no faith in that. There is no faith in that because faith always sees you full.
Amen.
Right? It is by faith that people saw in the future. It's by faith that I saw in the future. Well, actually, the Lord showed it to me. I just said yes and amen to what He showed.
Amen.
So showing thanksgiving is another kind of prayer. Last one, the supplication. Now, there are many, many kinds. I'm just going to be very short and sweet so we can get into our groups, okay? Fourth one, supplication, which is asking God for favor. God loves. We think that God only loves praise, like he's some egoistic maniac or something, that he only loves praise. Give me praise, give me thanks. No. He loves when people come and ask for him. He says, ask of me. He says, ask of me the nations. Don't ask little bitty things. That's given. That's bonus. Ask me. Ask me. Ask me. You know, I think many of us don't receive things because we just don't ask. Or we don't ask in faith. We don't have a glorious view of God. Because if we have one, we're going to be asking the glorious things of God. Ask big. Challenge God, because you can't really challenge him, but he is going to challenge your asking. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Are we clear on the little basics on prayer? Let's move on to fasting. What is fasting? Fasting is essentially giving up food or something else for a period of time in order to focus your thoughts on God. And Kenneth Copeland, you know, on your bulletin, he has a good excerpt there. And he says this, fasting is a willingness to separate yourself from the things of this world and put your focus solely on God. That is fasting. Now, fasting also has a partner. Faith. Seems like they're related. Fasting also has a partner, faith. Fasting is a faith move. Otherwise, you're dieting. You don't want to hear the Lord come in the middle of the fast and says, hey, how's the dieting going on? And he's like, excuse me? I'm suffering here. I haven't eaten. My family's all eating. Oh boy, those short ribs look good. But I'm fasting. He's like, no, that's your dieting. No, he didn't tell that to me. I'm just giving an example. It is an expectation that we have from God, that God will fill us with more of him. It is by faith you step into it. Amen. Fasting is not depriving ourselves of food or things or drink for a period of time in order to prove our love for him. If ever you have done fasting to say, Lord, I want to fast for you, don't. You don't have to fast for yourself. You have to fast for yourself. Because I want more of God. I want more of God this year than before. I want more of God now than I had it 2 days back. I want to fast because I want to remove from me the things of the flesh or anything that is a hindrance or a disturbance or that kind of clouds the presence of God so I can have more of him. He's already there 100% for you. He said that I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you, right? So he doesn't change. So he's there, but maybe we don't have a capacity to receive all of him. Fasting does that, removes the hindrances, removes the flesh. Fasting is less about what we are giving up and more about what we are making room for. And we have a lot of room, a lot of things. Maybe he, you know, you've allowed him into your living room, in your heart, in your being. You've allowed him into your bedroom. But that closet in the corner, he's looking and saying, son, what's there? Oh, Lord, let me show you this room, Lord. This is this drawing room, oh, the summer room. No. What's in that closet? And he doesn't force himself. He just say, may I? You're right, Lord. Yes, you may, Lord. Can I clean it? Yeah. And then all of a sudden you find freedom. You're set free. And he says, that's awesome, Lord. Hey, what's in the basement there? It's been locked for a long time. Oh, Lord, you're so good. What we are making room for, that's fasting. When we fast, we exchange what we need to survive for what we need to live. We need God to live. We don't need anything else. You had a question? No, I thought you were listening. Matthew 6, 16 to 18. Remember, we talked about last week, it's not if you fast, it's when you fast. I wrote it in my version, 16 to 18. My version Bible. When you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, Don't make a Broadway production out of it. Amen. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. If you go training inwardly, act normal outwardly. Shampoo, comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face, ladies makeup, men no makeup. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you're doing. He'll reward you well. I thought that was very nicely put. I like that, the way it is. I had fun writing this down. I said, can I do that, Lord? He's like, sure, have at it. Alrighty. So we got what fasting is. Types of fasting. Now, there are many kinds of fasting. But two basic kinds. The full fast and a partial fast. A full fast, you have either a dry fasting or a water fasting. You don't eat any food. Dry fasting is no water, no food. You can't do that for a little, maybe 2 days, 3 days. But after that, your body needs water. Jesus probably did the water fast because where he was, there was probably a brook. So he did 40 days. The longest fast has been about 62 days. It was a prisoner who was, you know, they were revolting and they did not eat and died after 62 days. After 40 days, your body starts to eat itself. It starts to eat your organs. And that's why, you know, when Satan came, the enemy came and said, make this into bread and eat. If Jesus had eaten bread, he would have died because his body could not have handled. A lot of people have lost lives. So you have to know how to break a fast too. You can't go feasting. Your body's sleeping. You can't do that. So a full, a dry fast is no food, no water. Or a water fast is only water, no juice. Only water. That's a full fast. Now the second one is a partial fast, which is a juice fast, a Daniel fast, and an intermittent fast, and so many things. Juice fast, obviously you're drinking juices or, you know, teas or coffees and all of that. I've tried that. It doesn't work for me. Everybody's body is different. If I give something to my body, it's asking for more. And it's very not easy for me to say, nope. And I tell you what, by the grace of God, my body goes to sleep. I don't feel hungry. I actually cook and I make food. I just don't taste it and I give it to them. I have no hunger. I am so, you know, when I first started fasting, I would have a headache, splitting headache, just skipping lunch. My body would growl. Oh, I would be hangry. Have you ever been hangry? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd be hangry. I'm like angry and hangry. Somebody across me. It's all my flesh coming out. I was like, get away from me, Satan, you know? But I practiced enough. I walked so long in that practice. Now, by the grace of God, you know, I can go for a long, full fast, and I'm fine. And I'm amazed. I'm not bragging on what I'm doing. I can't do it without the grace of God. Amen. But I'm amazed. That's what I'm saying. I am amazed at what my body can handle. I was told I should not be fasting. You all might know my testimony, right? You can be fasting. You can be feasting and all of that. Take that, you devil.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Man, every day I'm amazed. I'm amazed when I'm on a full fast. And the benefit is you lose weight. All my clothes start fitting again. And then I have to buy some new because some are really flabby. So the partial fast is a juice fast. If you can do a juice fast, do it. Technically, it's not good for you because it's high sugar. Yeah. So you're going to go whoop, and you're going to go whoop down. You're going to mess your body up. But some people can handle it. Have at it. Daniel fast, vegetables.
Yes.
Just vegetables. Just vegetables, no animal products, meat, you know, milk, cheese, and all of that. Now, intermittent fasting, that's, they say, one of the most beneficial. That's a 16-8. You fast for 16 hours, and you eat for within the 8 hours. Not, you don't eat all 8 hours. So Lord have mercy. Within the 8 hours, you can eat. So you have two meals or three meals, nuts, whatever. And then at the end of the 8 hours, you fast for 16 hours. Then you have a 5-2 fast. You eat for 5 days and you don't eat for 2 days in between. So the first day you fast, eat. Second day you fast. 2 days later you eat. For next 2 days you eat. Then the next day you fast. So within the 7 days, two alternate days you fast. And then there's the warrior fast. You have one meal a day. In the years past, I did that for the last 2 years. I had clarity, energy. You could do that too. It's a warrior fast. And then there's a spontaneous skip one meal fast. It's called so you skip today, you skip breakfast. Tomorrow you skip lunch. And then day after tomorrow you may skip dinner, you know, things like that. So there are different kinds of fasts. God's approved fast is what you consult with the Lord and he approves and says, yeah, let's do that, you know. The aim is not to get food away. You got it? It's to get Jesus, more of him, more of the Lord, more of his word. And then we'll come to benefits. You'll see there's amazing benefits, regardless of your fast. Now, you can also fast from things. If you love entertainment and you say, I am going to not watch TV or the news, you really don't want to watch news anyway nowadays, you know? So you can do that, and that also will help your spirit be revived in the things of God. Now, also, very important, when you fast, you're not only removing things, you got to add things. So you add in more prayer, more and more fellowship, go on date walks with Jesus, you know? He'll give you revelation because you will start hearing him more clearly. Yes. Amen? Yes. Internet, you know, shopping, chocolate, meat, you know, whatever. Now we got the pat down, what fasting is, types, just the basic. All right, the benefits of prayer. Benefits of prayer. And then we'll do the benefits of fasting. We did prayer, we did fasting. Now, benefits of prayer. Number one, it brings power and unity. It brings power and unity. You heard the saying, a family that prays together stays together. It is true. It is true because we have confession one with another. When we... my family, when we do our Friday Shabbat, we do take communion. And in communion, when we bring all of the elements and we start praying, you know, I come from the office, I change, wash up, you know, we sit down on the table. Guess what? My kids are all like, Kasia, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? Everybody's quickly forgiving each other and asking forgiveness. They're making right with each other. You know, that's amazing. Then I have to go to my wife. Do I have anything, Lord? Did I hurt my wife in any way? And then, you know, it's a wonderful experience to become of one heart before we take part in the elements and then start our Shabbat. So the benefit of prayer is we are all becoming one. Amen. You can't become one with God if there is division within your own family, if there is division in your own heart. Did you know you don't have to fake it? Your heart will already within you. It's like you just drank a glass of apple cider vinegar or something. It's like, there's something going on. You know, just tossing and turning until you come to a place of openness and forgive and be forgiven. There is peace, and then you're like, now I'm ready. That makes sense. Yeah. Does that make sense? Because we read in Acts chapter 2:1-2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. They had a Honda Accord in those days. They were all in one accord. That's why it's lasting so long, in one place. And then what happens when they were of one accord? Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Who was that? The Holy Spirit, my goodness, boy, did he come in the right time. He turned the world inside out, upside down, downside up, and he gave power. He didn't just go and just blast people off. He gave power to the people who were gathered in one accord. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, you and I have the power. Don't ask God for power, eh? Don't ask God. He's not going to answer that prayer because you have the power. Yes, if the Holy Spirit is inside you, you've got the power. Yes. I think it's a song, right? Yeah. You and I heard the same thing. Yeah. The Lord's funny. Don't you think he's funny? He's like, I got the power. Help us, Lord. Time out, time out. See, that's how he speaks to me. Yeah. You got the power. Don't ask. See, sometimes you got to think what you're praying. You got to pray by faith. God, give me healing. God, give me healing. I already died for that. It's there.
Yes, amen. Amen.
It's there.
Healed, amen.
Open your mouth. Speak it.
Amen.
Number two, prayer, the benefits of prayer. It defeats the enemy and empowers you. It defeats the enemy and empowers you. Many of us, not in this church, I'm saying, just saying, are dragging. You know, it's like zombies, you know. I haven't seen any zombie movies, so I'm just saying. But you're dragging. You know, your body parts are falling apart and you're just dragging. I wonder why. We need prayer. Not saying prayers. We need faithful prayers because it defeats the enemy. It empowers you. Because Jesus said to his disciples, remember when they brought that demon, the boy who was possessed, and the disciples couldn't cast it out? It's Mark 9:21. Jesus said to his disciples, this kind cannot be driven out anything but by prayer and fasting. Sometimes you've got to get the is the extra You know, coaches, you know, when the athletes go to the Olympics, they are there not to run for the athletes. They are there just to give that extra. Right?
Yes.
That's what the Holy Spirit is. He is the great enabler. In Hebrews 3, he is the helper. You know, it's like, you're not asking me, ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me. And I'm going to enable you because you're going to do great and mighty things. Daniel 11:32 says, those who know their God. Do you know your God? Do you know your God? Amen. Those who know their God will do great and mighty things. Guess what? It's already written.
Amen.
So let it be done.
Amen.
If you can step out.
Yes.
So it defeats the enemy. Number three, by prayer you can get direction. It helps you in your decision making. Direction and decision making. Acts 13:3. One day, as the men of Antioch were praying and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, he said, dedicate Barnabas and Paul for a special job I have for them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid hands on them and sent them on their assignment. That is awesome. When the Holy Spirit gets into your prayer closet and says, hey, look at me. And he says, yes, Lord, would you do this? If you do this, you will get your prayers answered. That's your direction. Oh, I never thought about that. I know. I'm the genius of heaven. I'll let you know when you ask me. Now, I'm going to give only three things. There's multitudes, the benefits of prayer. In the end, I'll just summarize that. Benefits of fasting. Let me finish in quickly. Number one, it brings freedom. Isaiah 58:4-7 says, look what good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling. God's telling this. This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. Is this what I want? This doing of penance and bowing down like reeds in the wind, putting on sackcloth and covering yourself with ashes? No. Is this what you call fasting? No, the kind of fasting I want is that you stop oppressing those who work for you and treat them fairly and give them what they should earn. I want you to share your food with the hungry and bring right into your own homes. Those who are helpless, poor, and destitute. Clothe those who are cold and don't hide from relatives who need your help. Wow. His definition of fasting is so different than what most people do. My goodness, if you just do this, you're fasting. We're talking about fasting as a lifestyle. It brings freedom, not only for people who need freedom, because you and I, we're not here called to sit in the pews. We are called to be empowered to set people free.
Amen.
We are here to set people free. You can't come in the presence of God and still be bound when you go back. If it is, I don't think you're in the presence of God, because his presence sets you free. I am set free, so I want to set others free.
Yeah.
Number two, benefits of fasting, hearing God clearly.
Yes.
Yes.
Hearing God clearly. Some of us have struggled for long. It's like, God, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me. And God's like, oh, I've been speaking. Just clean the wax out of your ears. But fasting help you. Acts 13:3, same scripture where Paul and Barnabas are dedicated. The Holy Spirit opens his mouth and clearly speaks. You're able to hear him within you, and you know you have peace. You know this is it. You just look at it and you think, this is perfect. And the Holy Spirit says, I know, I am. This is the perfect way to go. I hear you, Lord. How many times we come to that precipice or that crossroads and we are pleading with God, speak to me, Lord. Don't plead with him, eh? Because he's saying, this is the way, go ye in it. We just haven't recognized his voice. We haven't practiced hearing his voice. You know, when I catch a cold, you know, I sound like a croaking frog. Yeah. You know. But when I call Tina, she knows my voice because she knows my tone. The voice of God is not what you think it is. It is not like, oh, he sounds, like a German, or it's not that. It's not the tone. It's what is behind the tone. Enoch always says this. Enoch always expresses joy like this. You recognize the voice by who he is. Because by his name, we recognize his character, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when you know the character, oh, I messed up, Lord. I sinned royally. What do I do? You know one thing. I'm the Lord, I change not. He doesn't change.
Amen.
So his relationship with you is for good. Mm-hmm. But guess what? In within us, we think, oh, God's upset with me. He's ready with a baseball bat, right? All I need is that he's coming like in the cool of the day. Adam, where are you? Enoch, where are you? Like, well, Lord, I'm hiding here because I messed up. No, you messed up. But guess what? The Lord is able to redeem you.
Amen.
He's made a provision.
Amen.
The Father looks at Jesus, my advocate, and says, and Jesus says, here's the blood paid.
Yes.
Paid in full.
Yes.
So guess what? If you're struggling with a sin in your life, don't run away. Because if you run around, you just come to the same place.
Right?
All across the globe. Just stay inside. Just in repentance, the essence of repentance is not like, I'm so bad, Lord. No, it's just saying, Lord, would you give me another chance to walk that path? And this time, by your grace, can I walk it out?
Amen.
And I hear him shout, yes! And I say, amen.
Amen.
That is repentance. If you didn't know the definition of repentance is asking God for another opportunity to walk just like Jesus, and this time choose the spirit instead of your flesh. And that's how you conquer sin. I'm going on a tangent. Anyway. Number 3, benefits of fasting. Put your spirit over your flesh. Put your spirit, man, over your flesh. A lot of people in the world, the worldly people are led by their fleshly desires. Fleshly desires. I remember when I was in the dorm, I was ministering to a guy, very nice guy, but had issues, you know. And he was bragging to me about how many women he has slept with. He's out of college, but he has slept. And he says, and he was bragging about, you know, I can give a call and I'll have 2 or 3 girls come to my apartment. And I was thinking, how sad. How sad. Because they're so blinded, they think that is something to be bragged about. But here's the thing. And a lot of people are soul led. They're led by their emotions. Their emotions are good one moment and then whoop, down the next moment. And they're, in discipleship we were discussing, it's like a little boat on the rough ocean. So it's like you're tossed and turned and tossed and turned, you're left and right. You're constantly struggling to keep yourself up. But if you're spirit-led, smooth sailing. It's smooth sailing. You're filled with power. You're able to move things around you. You are not moved. You can move mountains, you can calm the sea, and if you don't like to walk on the sea, just part it and walk through it. Matthew 4:4. But Jesus was tempted by the devil. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You know why? It says after 40 days, Jesus hungered. Jesus was hungry. I mean, he was hungry. You know, he's looking, is there any fast food right here? He's hungry. But when the devil came at his most, the weakest point of his fasting and says, if you're God, make these stones into bread. His spirit was so strong. The devil only can see your physical. Recognizes. He can only see your physical. He sees you're weak. He sees you're on your knees. He doesn't realize you're kicking in his butt, sitting on his knees. Because you're praying. You're praying, Spirit of God, come like a flood, overwhelm the enemy. Amen? Yeah. Your spirit is strong.
Amen.
Amen. Other benefits. I told you I'll give you only three because there's so many. Other benefits of prayer and fasting. And I'll read this very quickly. It opens new doors and directions, Acts 14:23. It aids in your decision making. Those who are single looking for a life partner, ha-ha, prayer and fasting. Acts 13:3. Invoking supernatural favor for impossible tasks, Esther 4:16. Setting you free from bondage, Isaiah 58:6. Provides God's intervention and protection, Ezra 8:21-23. Intimacy, I love this, intimacy with God, insight from God, supernatural insight from God, hallelujah, Luke 2:37, a special revelation from God, like I had this morning, woo, Exodus 34:28, receiving a special godly reward, and it's not a candy bar, I'm telling you, it is a very special godly reward, from his mind he'll give that, Matthew 6:18, fasting and prayer, guaranteed satisfaction in everything you do. In everything you do, guaranteed satisfaction. You'll be able to sleep in the night. There will be no insomnia. Did you know that? There will be no insomnia. I've heard people, oh, I got insomnia. It's like you got a car or something. Guaranteed satisfaction, Matthew 5:6. Divine appointments. Hey, I love divine appointments. Divine appointments. Nehemiah 1 and chapter 2. Divine appointments. I love divine appointments. It's like a holy coincidence, you know. Gives you the holy heebie-jeebies, if you know what I'm talking about. I love it. I love it when the Lord shows up in supernatural ways that you don't expect. I like surprises like that. Healing and restoration, Psalm 35:13. Healing and restoration. It brings healing, not just physical, emotional. Amen. Emotional. Some of us need social healing. Hallelujah. Understanding, Daniel 10, understanding. And for a bonus, he'll add an angel and an archangel to visit you too. I got busy with the Prince of Persia, so guess what? Michael came. Hey, Mike, come on, let's go down to Daniel. I'd like that.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, I'd like to touch his feathers, you know, his, you know, feathers and say, ooh, is that real? Number 13, be filled by his empowering spirit. Matthew 4:2. You know what that means to me? I can do everything.
Amen.
I can do everything. I can do all things. And what that means is God saying, good, now that you got your confession down, can you start dreaming? Only I can limit my dreams. But I'm smart. I'll go one up on the Lord. I'm going to say, what's your dream for me, Lord? He said, brilliant question. Brilliant question. I like that. So he gives me his dreams. I'm thinking, oh, whoa. Thank you, Lord, for the grace. If not, I can't do this. This is awesome. I'll receive it. Thanks. I receive it, Lord.
Amen.
Receive mercy and favor, Jonah 3. Speed up Jesus' second coming, Matthew 9:14-15.
Hallelujah.
Guess what? When we pray and fast, we become more like Jesus. When we become like the perfect bride without spot or wrinkle, he's ready. He's like, Jesus is looking down and he says, ooh, that bride's looking beautiful.
Amen.
I'm going to sweep her off her feet.
Yes.
Oh, man, I wish the whole body of Christ would train, would practice so that she is without spot or wrinkle. Right now he's looking and says, those wrinkles, Lord, I ain't going down there. I ain't, not to that thing there. Yes, son, sit at my right. Help us, Lord.
Yes.
Help us, Lord. And many, many more.
Thank you for your help.
So in conclusion, isn't that a miracle?
Yes.
Did I tell you I've got empowering power in me? So in conclusion, I want you, here, let me conclude with a few thoughts. Prayer connects you to heaven.
Amen.
You can't afford to be disconnected. You can't afford to be disconnected. You know, and we think of, I'll say this statement, and some people might get upset. I don't follow Christianity. I don't. I follow Christ.
Amen.
I follow Christ. Hey, I'll tell you what. You know, for decades, after I was a baby Christian in fourth grade, for decades, I tried to do the do's and all of that and be a good Christian, read the King James Bible, actually halfway sleep on it because I was so boring, you know. And I did everything. And, God kept his side of his deal. He was faithful. But then one day he said, you know, son, let's get you up to a different level, you know. And when I came, I just thought, my goodness, I have no clue who you are. You're just so different. So I don't like religion, but I like the relationship. I mean, Jesus is cool. He's cooler than cool. And I like being cool because he's cool. Are we cool on that? So you want to live heavenly minded because it works here on earth. But if you're earthly minded, it don't work up there. Geez, I'm going on that language. You hear that? That something, Spirit's doing something. All righty. You become more aware and more connected to God. The same with fasting. Fasting is not, it doesn't give you the power to heal the sick or cast out demons. No, it does not. God's word does.
Amen.
But fasting brings you to a place where we can believe God's word and by faith and prayer make it more tangible. Amen. Alrighty. Did you enjoy what the Lord spoke?
Amen.
I enjoyed it. I'm going to go listen to it again. So if you have your bulletins, remember you wrote that?
Yeah.
When you get into groups, I want you to think out of the... Geez, you got some extra blessings. Focus group leaders, if you can... let's not do that. If one or two, we'll just go one here, one in the back, one. Just, can you tell me what your goals? If it's not too private, one goal that you wrote on your bulletin for your prayer and fasting and the insight God gave you that is going to aid that goal. Can we start somewhere here? Just raise your hands. It's okay. We don't have to. Yes, Mew?
Our kids group come up with God telling us.
Jesus love.
That is awesome.
Amen.
That is awesome.
Amen.
Jesus love.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That is awesome. Jesus loves. For those who don't know, Jesus loves.
Amen.
Amen. Which means in your good days and your bad days,
Jesus
loves. You will hear this voice. Okay. Anybody here? Wow, no insights. Help us, Lord. I need to pray and fast now. Yes, Juanita.
God spoke to me to be obedient.
Okay.
And not be fearful about the medications that I take.
Okay.
Pray about that.
Wonderful. Okay. That's very specific to you. Good. Anybody else? Yes, Tanya?
My goal was the direction of a ministry.
Okay.
For me. And while we were sharing, I said that the one area of fasting that I would like to have developed is more power. Mm-hmm. When I put my hand on somebody, absolutely, they're healed. You just know it. It's happened right then and there.
Okay.
So, while I was like, oh boy, I just got busy. I think the Lord just downloaded that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Anybody else? Anybody else? Because this is gonna be your beacon for the whole year, throughout the year. So I'm pretty sure some of you have got a lot of things to share, but now's the time to declare it in public so you can appropriate it within yourself. Am I pushing too much? Anybody else? Yes, Thomas.
Just the fasting and faith are the partners.
Mm-hmm.
You fast with faith, but the goal would be really just to walk by the Spirit, man. Just want to.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. All righty. Anybody? Mark, do you have anything to share?
Yeah, that God revealed to me that when you're in the fast, that, you know, the clarity is unbelievable. Right. That He's with you. He walks beside you, and He just gives you that peace.
Amen. 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 And how does that relate to the goal? Did you share the goal too? No.
No, I didn't.
Just the aspect of fasting.
Correct.
No, I got it. Okay. Anybody here? Carissa? I'm going to call you out.
I got that in my spirit. Beacon of light. Or beacons of light.
Beacons of light. Brilliant. Brilliant. Start shining. Start shining brighter. Anybody else? Sarah?
What's happening? I just got my... What's the question?
I love pulling people. Because I got the mic, right? And you don't. No, we're talking about that goal that you had and the one aspect that God revealed or showed or something related that specifically is a partner to that goal. The goal that you wrote. Yes.
Okay, so as pastors, a lot of times, you know, we have a routine that we do to have our time with God and so forth. So my goal really was to draw closer to God, because you can get really, really busy even just doing ministry stuff. And, you know, you can go through the motions and sometimes rush through the motions. But I don't want it just to be for the fast time when we set aside time and do, but a regular practice, the lifestyle that you're talking about.
Amen. I like that. I love it. I love it. Anybody else? Yes, Pastor Don.
One of the reasons of fasting brought out in Isaiah 58 was in mercy that the Lord will guide you always. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my goal would be to experience that in my own life. Because as you get up in years, and I've lived a few years right now, there are fewer years remaining for me than what I have already walked. And so God's guidance always becomes increasingly even more important, though it's always been important, but even increasingly important.
Amen. Amen. Pardon me? Oh, okay, yeah. So Pastor Don was talking about the aspect of God's guidance from Isaiah 58. And because the Lord has a lot of years ahead set aside for him, the Lord is going to promise to guide him, speak into him, and lead him in that path. That's my summary. And he will prosper as he walks there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love that. Ah, I feel the heebie-jeebies. Santos, the Lord saying, you have something to share.
Direction.
Direction. Wonderful. Excellent. Sarah, we'll close with you.
I just kind of had a revelation of how Jesus says, I'm the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm not eating bread, I'm not eating certain foods, so he becomes my satisfaction. He
yes.
becomes my nourishment. And I think I want, you know, I just want, there's moments of that during the fest, but I want more of that where it's like, I even wonder, could I even go back to eating? Because I just want more of his filling up, that he's my bread.
Awesome. Yes. So Sarah's saying that Jesus is the bread of life. And when we fast and we say, okay, I'm not going to eat bread or certain foods, Jesus becomes that part of satisfaction. And you get so filled. And what she's saying is she wants more of that, to make it more tangible, that you're thinking, should I even go back to the old ways of eating? Because this is more satisfying. Now, if you realized or not, I'm excited because I didn't even realize until, you know how God can speak through you and then he sets things up and then you look back and says, I couldn't have planned it. Did you know every answer that you gave was regarding a lifestyle?
Amen.
And everybody, many of you alluded to that, a way of life for the rest of my life. A new way of life. I have news for you. Are you ready for this heavy Revy? Heavy revelation. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, Lord, anytime now. You guys are world changers. We knew about that.
Amen.
But it starts with your own personal lifestyle. And this is not a lifestyle that you're going to change and you're going to live there. But the presence of God is going to accompany that lifestyle. And regardless of what you give, satisfaction will be guaranteed in everything. In other words, the Lord says that you may be walking through a wilderness, I will be your manna. You may be hungering and thirsting, I'm guaranteeing you fulfilled. You're no longer thirsty, you will be satisfied. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. This lifestyle is not just a physical lifestyle. God is preparing you for heaven.
Amen.
He's preparing you for heaven because in heaven, you're not eating and drinking and making merry. You will always be in his presence. But then he's going to download that here on earth for you. I'm excited because that is an out of the world experience. And God says, I'm going to give it to you here. You know, in the life of Elijah, he was a different person. He was a different person. You and I are called like Elijah's here on earth. You will see signs, wonders, miracles. But that's just the bonus. You will see supernatural things, but that's just the bonus. The most important thing, you will carry with you the presence, the radiant presence of God himself. He's saying he's getting ready for his second return. And he's looking, who do I see ready? And he looks at this church, looks at you and me, looks at people who are saying, I am ready for an infilling, a fresh infilling. And he says, done. So I'm receiving it for myself. I'm excited. I don't know how I'm going to drive home. I'm excited. But you receive it in your own self. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, we seal this benediction. We seal this. Every person in the sound of my voice here, and every person listening to this message on podcast who has made that commitment, who has received that goal from you and has received that special grace and insight, oh Lord, on how to go about it, and who is enabled, who's equipped, who's been anointed, who's been appointed, is going to step inside that which you have commanded and going to see the goodness of God flow through them. We thank you for that. Lord, no longer is fasting and prayer drudgery are a chore to do as Christians. It is a lifestyle. It is a joy to go on a date with Jesus, just Jesus and me. And I love that. It's intense pleasure. It's immense fun. And above all, I am going to be totally bathed in the presence of God. And so will everybody who would step out into this that you have called them to. We thank you for that. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you for preparing us. We thank you for downloading this to us. And we thank you for making us the vessels, the temple of the Holy Spirit, full of power, full of goodness, full of grace, and full of the presence of God. And everybody said, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.